Hello, Random Thoughts listeners. George here, and I have a disclaimer for you. This show, this episode number 19, is entirely dedicated to listening to and critiquing Nickelback. I know, it wasn't my idea. My brother, in all of his wisdom, thought that in episode 18, when we were talking, that it would be a good idea to just listen to at least an hour's worth of Nickelback. And give our critique. And you know, he did this on purpose. It was very diabolical of him because he knew it would be nothing but torture for me. And I know he just wanted to see my reaction. And Random Thoughts is all about being random and just having multiple discussions. But no. Manuel thought it'd be great to sit here and listen to over an hour's worth of Nickelback and give our critique and opinion. I'll admit, the episode ended up being pretty funny. It's a fun ride. I think you'll enjoy it. But I also got to say that for Nickelback or any of the band's music that we played on here, listen, this is free promotion for you, number one. And number two, we're not making any money on this episode whatsoever. There's no sponsors involved on episode 19. There's no advertisements on episode 19. Nothing. And believe me, we're not using your music as a way to get people to listen to us. We just thought this would be a fun episode. And we have a right to our opinion. So for all you listeners out there who support us, please crack a beer or your beverage of choice, sit back and enjoy.
All right, Random Thoughts, it's episode 19. We are going to follow through on something I brought up at the end of episode 18, which is a total Nickelback episode review. And
you need to rename the episode The Torture of George Fonts. That's what this needs to be fucking named.
Because I thought it'd be the best episode ever.
I never in my life, ever in my life, thought I would be listening to an entire album of Nickelback. And I had to take quite a few hours in between break. I started this morning.
Uh-huh.
Got through maybe five.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. He's George on Manuel, by the way. Sorry.
Everybody fucking knows by now. Got through maybe five, and when I was driving to the studio, I kind of just let it play in the background, and it's so fucking amazingly, like, it stands out so much, and it's so memorable, that at one point, I literally just tuned it out. You know how you have, like, a radio station in the car that you're not really paying attention to? I got to that level.
Look, I did.
With the album you told me to listen to anyway, the...
Yes, I did.
Fucking Get Rolling.
I did anyway, a deep dive.
Sorry, this is your thing.
I did deep dive.
I told you I was going to get drunk on this show, but instead, I found it probably better
to be awake
and coherent. So I'm gonna pop my Red Bull that my brother hates, but I don't care.
So,
I need it.
So since I have,
I need to be up for this.
The career that I chose, I can wear a headset 8 hours a day. And I can burn through a lot of material. So I went through the entire fucking catalog.
What's wrong with you?
157 tracks of unbearable but I have some factoids. I learned some shit.
157 tracks of fucking Nickelback.
Yes, I fucking went through it.
If you're not aware by now,
first
if
everyone album listening to is the not last aware,
I'm not a Nickelback fan.
Neither am I, but I thought this would be fun.
I did give it a chance. As I said last time when you were here, I don't think we recorded it, but I think it's just, you know, nostalgic fine stripper music. But
yes.
We're going to see what you think. And of course, I know you did this just for my reactions. I know how you do these things.
Fuck it. Like I said, deep dive. I went through every album, even live album. And for shits and giggles, I ran through some covers that they did. And I'm going to play one of those covers because I thought it was a sad cover. Like, they didn't...
Nickelback does covers.
They did not land that plane. They crashed it in the fucking ocean. But Housekeeping, and it's a correction from...
Housekeeping?
It's a correction from the last episode. And I'm going to tell you why I'm putting this on the record is because...
I don't like corrections, but go ahead.
No, okay, remember when I said the Ozfest was 2000, 2002, some shit like that?
Yeah.
Okay, I found a picture... And my son is in it, and he is not born in 2000. So I had to look it up. The Ozfest that I went to was 2010. So I was off by like a decade. And Evanescence did not play on that on the U.S. run. They were actually in the UK run. So what it really was, the lineup, this is how it went. It was Ozzy Osbourne, obviously, because he's Ozfest. But Motley Crue was before Ozzy. I don't know why I don't remember seeing Ozzy. Maybe we left. I don't know. Halford was before that. Then it was Devil Driver. Nonpoint was on the other the other stage was Zakk Wylde, Kingdom of Sorrow, Drowning Pool, and Goat Whore.
That's an interesting lineup.
That's 2010. So I was off by like a fucking decade.
Maybe you saw Evanescence somewhere else. You just don't remember.
I don't even know, dude. I was completely fucking...
Well, that was a random band to throw out there, so maybe it just stuck in your head from something you saw before somewhere. I just didn't realize it.
Dude, I don't even know. But there is my L for
the episode. So let's stay there for a second. Because when did that album come out that we're talking about, the Generation Swine?
97.
Okay, so... But they played that Generation Swine song...
In 2010.
2010.
Yeah.
Vince Neil was there.
Yes. And so was Tommy Lee.
So what were they touring on?
I don't know I can't remember what album they had then, because they opened with the Generation Swine song, and then they just went from there. And I don't remember any special.
I don't either.
Not that it matters. I just thought it correct the record, because I was off by a decade.
I'm just now wondering, not that it needs to stop what you're doing here. Let me do a quick. See? Fuck, already. Let's at least be correct on the album. Let's be correct on that. Okay. Let me see. I'm going to go look up Motley Crue albums. And we know it wasn't John Corabi because you didn't see John Corabi up there.
And it was Generation.
Let me see. They got 89 was Dr. Feelgood. What did they have after? Saints of Los Angeles. Maybe you were seeing them on that one. Because that was 2008.
It might have been.
Yeah, it could have been that one, because New Tattoo was 2000. Generation Swine, like you said, 97. The Dirt soundtrack, whatever the hell that is, 2019.
No one cares about that.
Even their live album, which is funny because the live album they released, Vince Neil actually sings on, which I don't know how they captured that unless they did multiple recordings over years and years and just pieced it together. That was weird.
They might have just chopped his audio. And
I think they did. So maybe it was that Saints of Los Angeles album you saw him on that tour. I think that's what it was.
I guess.
Had to be.
Either way, he mumbled. It didn't matter. I wouldn't have fucking known what song it was to begin with.
Yeah. Anyway, at least we got that, because you got me guessing all of a sudden on which tour that was. But
just like I don't remember what album Devil Driver had in 2010.
Now, okay, fine. Let's go down that road.
No, we got to get to Nickelback.
I
just wanted to make a correction.
I'm managing the situation right now. We'll get there.
He is trying not to take this in the face.
Oh, Devil Driver albums. We're just talking about more interesting music, whether the singer sings or not. At least, what year did you say it was, 2010?
2010 was the Ozfest.
So they were doing, it was the Pray for Villains album.
Was it?
Yeah, okay. That was a good one.
Okay.
Actually, I don't think they really have a bad album. Yeah.
Not yet.
The last Kind Words from 2007, I think, was so far my favorite.
Don't jinx them, man.
No. They're doing just fine. But now Dez is back with Cold Chamber. Supposedly, like you said before, we didn't say it on recording, but you said before that they're supposedly, this time for sure, as they say, recording an album.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens.
We'll fucking see.
All right, fine. I'm going to stop delaying and derailing. Go ahead. Let's get this fucking... This
son of a bitch out of the way.
This example of prime Canadian musicality.
Okay.
Out of the way here.
All right.
Are they like the biggest export that Canada has?
They are the
I know Celine Dion's Canadian.
In terms of rock and metal, they are the Metallica of Canada.
That's debatable, because first off, rock maybe, metal no, but I know they're classified
as
such.
Canada classifies them together.
Canada's fucking weird. Are the Google Dolls from there?
I don't fucking know. We're not doing that. We're doing Nickels.
Okay. You know what? Audience. Okay. I'll tell you what. Audience, please, please.
If he could, he would jump out the back of this fucking studio.
Here's your challenge. Get back to us and name all the legendary Canadian
rock metal bands?
Rock metal bands. I was just going to say artists in general, but there's a few. But let's just stick to rock and metal. I challenge you. And then rank them 1 to 10. There you go. There's your homework. We might just listen to them.
Leave them in whatever.
I should not have fucking said that because you'll make me listen to them.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you fucking said you got to follow through.
Okay. Canada's greatest export. Nickelback.
Nickels back. I'm not going to
give. Nickels back.
First, we're not going to give a history because no one gives a shit. We're going to do.
No, they don't.
We just know that they showed up and they started making records whenever that year was. That's not important. What's important is we are going to get into the music and we are going to get.
It was like poofing. What the fuck is this?
It doesn't matter. We just know Spotify has them at, 22 million subscribers
that's
or whatever.
That's crazy.
The fuck. Now, to answer the other question about this group, is at first it started out with three brothers and one dude, and then now it's just two brothers. One of them left.
God, we're not even 10 minutes in, and I feel like I should have grabbed the beer instead of the fucking Red Bull.
But to answer the metal question, Kroger has expressed interest. This is from Loudwire, Blabbermouth. It's all, all the main ones. He's expressed interest in creating a heavy metal album. He mentioned that he has discussed multiple ideas on how to explore heavier sounds with the band. Now,
get a new fucking band.
His brother, Mike, has also expressed interest in making heavy metal albums, specifically mentioning a desire to create a Slayer cover album or to start his own band by himself. I pulled these right off of Blabbermouth and Live and Loudwire. And
my
so.
Ears have heard the blasphemy. Head is spinning. Venom is spitting. I can't keep my eyes in one lock position now because they're rolling so fucking hard. This motherfucker had the balls to say they're interested.
He wants to do a Slayer cover album.
Cover album?
Yes, sir.
They don't have the stamina to even fucking play, 30 seconds of an intro from a Slayer song. Like, what are we talking about?
Let's get into the financials.
Why did you have to fucking lead in with that?
Because that leads into this music thing I want to talk about. Is we talked about how they wanted to make a metal album. They are making a Slayer comparison. So we're going to dive in. But first,
let me give you my butt first. let me say the two names again, one after the other. So Slayer.
Yes.
Nickelback.
Yes.
Let me say it again.
Yes.
Slayer, Nickelback.
And Chad can sing that.
One of these things is not like the other. Okay.
Can Chad?
They don't belong on the same shelf at the store.
But can Chad do the Slayer singing? Can he nail it?
I want to respond so bad to that, but I think at this point, I'm just going to let the audience decide, and I'm going to let him reveal his own talents.
I will.
Okay. I'm going to shut up now.
Fine. Okay. Now the final.
I'll have plenty to say later.
I know you will. Now, Nickelback is worth $100 million, the band itself, the richest band in Canada. I don't know how many loonies that is in conversions, but All the Right Reasons sold 10 million copies, which is most of where their money is coming from, and they continue to sell tracks off of that for some weird reason. Chad is worth about $80 million by himself.
He ripped off the band.
He might have.
Ah, fuck.
The rest of it, including his brother, right around 20 to 30 million, depending on how you slice it. Well, he's also the songwriter, so you get all the royalties, I'm guessing. He's the only songwriter. There's nobody else.
I take him for one of those guys that's like, without me, you're nothing.
Yes, and we're going to prove how he's nothing, but we will.
Fair enough.
Now, let's get into the covers right away, because they want to do a Slayer cover.
Can't do enough Hail Marys right now.
But before we do that, there's a little bit of pointless facts. Every album they make, the longest album is the first album, 46 minutes. The rest are about 41 to 42 minutes. That's it. So they know that their audience only has about a half an hour of attention span.
there's that, or they're sticking to
the formula.
The formula of how long a song should be for radio play.
Yes,
every song
it's gotta be.
They intend to have on the radio. From what I heard, it's exactly what they're trying to do.
Now,
and the lyrics are miraculous.
Yes,
where they get these stories, and how there are multiple songs on an album that say the same exact lyrics, like Angel, you're my angel. I miss you, my angel. You should be my angel. Did you fall from heaven, angel?
I got to get the fuck out of San Quentin. Yes.
Angel.
Okay, so there's that. There's a time limit that they put on this shit. I don't know if that's to save money. It could be the radio thing. No idea. That I've also know that their song count is about the same, 10 to 12 songs on average. Like it is just bang, bang, bang. Like they have this down to a science. At the 1 minute mark of almost every song is the lead, the last minute of the song. Doesn't matter how long it is, they get to that 60-second finish, they hit lead, babble, whatever the fuck it is, and they close it. You already know the song will end at that point.
Sir, it sounds like you need to go to therapy because you dove way too deep into this shit. Nobody cares that much about Nickelback.
I'm just saying.
Nobody cares that much. But since you went that far with your analysis, I am now intrigued. You now got my attention. I'm ready. Let's do this.
The chief songwriter, and guitar player is Chad. He's also your lead player.
Chad.
He also plays leads. In every fucking song, whatever the break, bridge, he's the guy. He only knows, I'm assuming, one or two scales. That's it. Because I only hear one or two patterns when I listen to every fucking song, 100 plus tracks. So
he's sticking to the formula.
I'm guessing. So when he says, when they reference how they want to make a Slayer cover album,
ain't gonna fucking happen.
I was intrigued, so I went to covers. I was like, okay.
How much is it gonna pay Tom Araya to be on the album?
None. Anyway,
it's the only way it's gonna work.
I don't know. He's gonna have to pay a guy for the leads at least, because he can't play them. That's obvious listening to any of his material.
He might be able to pull off the Kerry King in and of himself. Let's just be honest. His leads are mostly just whatever.
You think he can pull it off? Okay.
Yeah, the leads I think he can. All the other stuff.
I don't know. I did a deep dive into the covers that they did because I'm wondering, you know, if you're going to do a cover album, are you exact? Are you within the framework of it? Fuck no. And the one that I really got locked into was The Devil Went Down to Georgia. Because of the amount of guitar work that's in that song.
Sounds blasphemous.
Okay. First problem is the song is chopped. It's only 2 minutes and 28 seconds. And the second problem is they don't even say all the lyrics. They only do the one or two main areas of it, and that's it.
How do you have the balls? How do you have the balls to disrespect Charlie Daniels?
Charlie Daniels would slap the shit out. He agreed to it. He's probably getting his check, but at the same time.
Charlie Daniels is dead.
I'm just saying.
He did get his check.
Yeah, and he's slapping somebody. The ghost is mad. That's all I'm saying.
Well, okay, brilliant marketing on Charlie's. All right, it makes it makes sense from that standpoint. So, okay, I get that, but still.
Okay, so I know you don't want to hear this, but this is the first track we're going to run.
Just fucking tear off the Band-Aid, as they say. Let's do this shit. You know, and I'm going to let you know something. When you play this, I was a monitor engineer for Charlie Daniels for two shows.
Okay.
On one of his runs.
Okay.
Provided sound for him on another show before he died. Okay, so I have some upfront personal experiences with the actual band.
Okay.
And watching them actually play live, not from the fucking seats, but right there on stage. So, I'm ready for this one.
Are you ready?
Let's roll it. Go ahead. Let's roll it.
You sure?
Yeah. I thought I was sure.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind, way behind, and willing to.
Now, if we talk over it, it might not get copyrighted.
I don't care if it does.
jumped up on a hickory stump. So boy, let me tell you what.
And we're giving them free fucking publicity.
I know.
They only sell out in Canada, let's just be honest.
Cannot confirm that, but sure.
I just did. Give the devil his due. I'll bet a guitar of gold against your soul that says I'm better than you. But the boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin. But I'll take your bet. Is that his heavy side?
I think so.
As cool as it's different, kind of. No, I'm not gonna say that. That's insulting. I was gonna say kind of like a Siberian Orchestra thing, but not. No.
No.
Not
no. Close. I don't know about you, but this song made me laugh hysterically in the car.
What the fuck is this? Is that that one? Wow, they chopped that.
Yes, they did.
That's cool. I'll give him that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, but I don't know if you should add to a song you're covering.
No, this is a cool. This is very close to the actual music, the rhythm of it.
Okay.
Another lead, though. Said, well, you're pretty good, old son. It is their own version, but it's missing that drum, you know, that
yep.
That kind of like that freight train type of thing going.
I think they do this on purpose, like, so you know who you're listening to.
Oh, it's pretty obvious. All right.
All right.
It's like, this is how it would be if I was on Punk'd and you didn't tell me what was going on. So it sounds like this song was an opportunity for him to show off. Go, look what I can do. I can play. Look at my fingers move. But yeah, a lot of the patterns were all pretty much the same.
Yeah. Now,
you know, regurgitated over and over. Here's the one thing I'll say, though, because I'm sure we're going to hear it in other songs. I'm very surprised that I actually dig the guy's guitar tone. I'm not going to lie. He has a good guitar tone. So
I got nothing.
Give him that.
The fuck just happened?
And because I heard a few songs, I'm like, does come up with some good guitar tones, like the sound of his guitar.
Okay, all right.
And there was one fucking lead I heard that I actually thought was good. I'm gonna say it. There was one. I forgot. It was off the Get Rolling Over Here album that you told me to fucking listen to. But there was a song where there was a lead that kicked in. I'm like, fuck, all right, that's pretty good. But anyway, getting back to this. A hack of a cover. it's cool that they did their own version, but I here's the thing: if you're gonna drop out that upbeat fast drumming,
yeah,
that makes that song chug along. To be honest,
remember,
you have to go the total opposite. So it's like when Marilyn Manson did I got a spell on you. I put a spell on you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He understood. If you're going to go the other direction, you got to go all the way. And it really came out to be his own. Same thing with Nickelback here that they should have done with Charlie Daniels. If you're going to go the slow fucking, you know, metal-y whatever, you got to go for the whole thing. It's like they went halfway.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm making sense to you.
No, you're making sense.
So I think they missed an opportunity there to really, really make it their own. To me, it just sounded like a really... clean. Hey boys, we're practicing in the garage. Let's let's try and fuck with this song. You know what I'm saying? It didn't sound like they really made it their own.
And then they decided to record it.
Or like when what was her name? When she did that Slayer cover of Raining Blood.
There's no reason.
I am gonna get so much flack from the metal community for not remembering that one, by the way. So I'm gonna come back to it. But What was her name? Anyway, I'll come back to it. But anyway, just it was another example.
Yeah.
And she was a piano player singer.
Okay.
And she totally did her own version of Raining Blood, which was fucking killer. But we're talking about understanding where you're at and going going all the way with it.
It's the same with Typo Negative when they did the Black Sabbath song.
Oh, Typo Negative. Yeah.
They fucking made that as creepy as possible.
Of course they did.
And then Cradle of Filth did Crowley.
Well, that was, but we're talking about musicians who know.
We're talking about professionals. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they know where they're at, and they know that if I'm going to do this, I really got to go all the way. Or you're just going to sound like, well, you're going to sound like Nickelback. I'm sorry. I don't know how else to say it.
So, okay. So we both agree this is a terrible take on Charlie.
I'll say interesting take.
It's
okay. Yeah, it's a half-assed take.
Okay, I'm gonna play you a version that we already know, some of it anyway. Is the Adrenaline Mob version?
I don't remember it, but go and play it.
I do like this version.
Yeah, I don't remember it. We don't have to play the whole thing though. It's just
no.
Good enough to get the contrast. Yeah.
That's Portnoy playing the drums. Wait,
hold on.
Yes.
Right away. You can't throw a name like Mike Portnoy out there and be like, by the way. Dude, we already know it's not going to be comparable.
The reason I brought it up is because remember the YouTube video where he was learning a Nickelback song and Portnoy was...
Oh, yeah.
And Portnoy was, like, irritated because there should be more drums in between some of these takes. And it's like this... It was just the bass drum, and then there was, like, a couple
Maybe
of
I'll try to look that up, and we'll throw that in somewhere. But anyway. You know why that we should do that? Because now we're talking about a pro... train actual thinking out of the box musician critiquing Nickelback. So it's not just coming from us. Start that Adrenaline Mob over again because I cut you off.
Orlando can play.
Yeah, it's already Jim.
Yeah.
Come on.
None of this came out of Chad's song.
So much more accurate.
In this one, you might get more lyrics.
See how the drums are that upbeat?
Yeah.
That was my, well, I was trying to say, you can't drop that out of the song unless you go the whole other direction with it.
They didn't do any of that. And if you care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. But I feel like this version has more lyrics than what we got out of Nickelback.
Well, because it's the lyrics.
Yeah. I don't understand why he cut all the lyrics out.
I don't know. Probably for his radio play formula.
Like right here, none of this is in that Nickelback version.
That's pretty cool. So they made it their own version, but it's still really close to the original.
Yeah, they.
That's the first time I heard Portnoy just didn't go straight to a double bass. Yeah, okay. So I get it.
He does, but
audience, you get it now. You get it.
Yeah,
you get it.
Towards the end, he does double bass the shit out of that song. By the way,
I know. I'm sure he did. I'll have to listen to that. Dang, I didn't realize they did that cover.
Yeah.
All right. I'm getting happy, but then I got to turn back to the rest of this.
Yes,
episode
because the rest of these tracks
featuring
are on
Pumpernickel. Nickelback.
The rest of these tracks are on your computer, your buttons.
Motherfucker. You're right. God. All right. Well, you're leading us. So
I know.
Where do I go?
I know, but I can see it in your eyes. You don't want to touch it.
It's okay. We're here now.
We're going to play a little bit of the same.
The question. Hard, heavy.
Yes.
And this is the reason you wanted me to listen, because you're like, hey, they claim they did a more metal album.
Yes.
There's only one fucking song that's even halfway metal.
Yeah, well,
asshole.
And then I just read
the rest of it was all sappy, fucking insecure, music.
I read you the article where they said they want to try to get there.
I'll play this, but they got a long way to go. But the opening of the song makes you think, oh fuck, and then
yes, that first set has already been done. They did it in the third album.
It's like.
It's a regurgitation of something they've already done.
It's like getting your hopes up and immediately grabbing the hammer and smashing the present that daddy just gave you. You know what I mean? It's like, ooh, look what I got you. A brand new Xbox for Christmas. Yeah, bam, bitch, you don't get it. Fuck that. That's what this is. And watch, I'm going to play this and everyone's going to understand where I'm coming from. All right, ready? Here we go.
Knock it out.
Right? Draws you in like, ah, we're going somewhere.
But this part right here.
What is this?
This whole section right here was ripped right off of their second or third album. Yeah, I can't remember the name of the song right now, even though I listened to all of it.
They went right back to that fucking insecure, sappy stripper music.
They wear
this
right.
This is pole dancing music.
Yes.
Now, the story, as I understand it, behind this bullshit song was he wanted to have... No, I'm not going to... No, forget it.
Oh, no, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
He okay. wants... He want,
see? Not... not. This is what we're talking about earlier.
This is a party band okay. that wants...
They go straight to that radio yes. formula. Like, they just can't get out of their own way. It started so promising. You're like, oh, fuck. It's like, that's a cool drop. All right, we're going. And then it does that campy-ass fucking stripper groove. Boos, 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 boos. And then he can't even give it a different type of structure in his vocals.
I don't think he can...
Like, what are you doing, I don't, dude? What are you doing?
I don't think he has the ability or the range or anything to go anywhere.
Well, his voice in and of itself sounds like a rock voice. I'm not going to take that from him. But it's like they're really stuck within themselves, right? Yes. I mean, it was cool in the 90s, man. You didn't grow.
No, they didn't.
That could be said of a lot of different bands, I guess. But you're not at the level of Journey or Night Ranger to where they know the brand, everybody's nostalgic, and they're going to keep delivering that brand. These guys never really found their place in history, I don't think, outside of being one of Canada's biggest exports, aside from their whiskey. I don't know. But...
Okay, all right. I'm gonna read this to you real quick. This is a little more history to this song and this album. Band members in 2019 spoke of recording a 10th studio album. Chad conceded there is no timetable or rushing for this to be completed. His brother Mike spoke of his personal desire for the Slayer album, and then they released the Charlie Daniels cover, and then when the bassist was being interviewed in 2021, he said that the progress of the album is happening right now. Music is being composed and recorded up in Canada. We were out there and something came up and our producer had to take some time off, so I took the opportunity to go to LA, blah, blah, blah. He's heading back, he said, we'll pick it up again. When asked about a potential time frame, this is what he says. It'll be done when it's done, explaining that the band would rather not be confined to a timetable for fear of making a shitty record.
That's what I said about this one?
Yes.
Whoa. Bro, you failed. Fucking failed.
So they spent 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022
fail.
On this album.
Fail. Fucking fail. Because you go from that to Skinny Little Fucking Missy, which I don't understand. The lyrics...
All right, fire up the skinny Missy.
Little Missy. You'll never get her in. She'll never grace your bedroom because she's my friend or I'm her friend. What does that mean? Like your big brother?
I did not analyze lyrics like that.
Oh, I couldn't get over it. I'm listening to this. I'm like, what the fuck? I started actually paying attention to lyrics. I'm like, where's this guy grabbing this fucking?
I don't know what Chad's inspiration
watch.
Is.
I said watch. Listen, we don't have video. We need to get video going.
If you got a video, you'd see this dude's
we need to get
anger.
Video going.
His enragement building inside of him.
This would be an amazing episode. I need to get that going. All right. Skinny Little Missy. Track 2 of Get Rollin'.
Yes.
Okay. Before we go, can I go on with this, can I make a comment? If you're going to make an album, by the way, that you consider to be more rock, what's with the Scooby-Doo van on the cover? In yellow with a sunset. I mean, it looks like you're a fucking hippie surfer.
It's got palm trees.
It's a hippie surfer fucking cover. I mean, and that's great if that, like, okay, if this was a
honestly, I think he's in
this was a cover.
I think he's in the sky because I see clouds around the tires. It's probably Airborne, I'm guessing.
If this was a cover for a Sublime album, it would make so much sense, right? Wouldn't it?
Okay.
So and you look at the cover and go, oh, wow, I gotta check this band out.
Check out the cover of the album before this.
It's false advertising, dude. It's like they're trying to draw you. It's like they're, all right, let me just play the song. Skinny Little Missy by Pumpernickel. I mean Nickelback.
Nickelback.
Again, promising.
Yes. Most of them start that way.
And then
we shit. Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. Admittedly, still not too bad. I think it's when he opens his mouth.
Yeah, because they changed the entire song
because of his mouth.
It has to fit his tone. She's tough, see? It dies.
I think it's this rhythmic part they always do for his vocals where the rhythm kind of drops out.
Yes. Every song is fucking written that way. Maybe that's what it is
because it's not so much that that musically is bad. It's just they do it on every song.
Yeah.
So you kind of go, all right.
So if you're a fan and you go to the concert, you know when the lyrics will be there.
It's getting a little missy. Listen. Because she's a friend? What's that supposed to mean? Don't mess with her, bro. I'm going to fucking handle things. Is that what this is?
I think that would be like the sister. So don't fuck with your sister because she's coming.
I'm assuming maybe that's what it is.
Or he's a pimp and that's the whore.
Look, there's their picture. If Chad Kroeger came to me and tried to threaten me, bro, are you really going to like... I mean, I know I'm 46, but I can still handle myself, okay? I'm just going to say... I'm trying to match, and this is what I was trying to get at earlier when I called you this morning, when I said, what the fuck am I listening to? Because I got the picture of this guy in my head,
yeah,
and I'm listening to these lyrics, and I'm like, I don't get it. You know, because on this album, there's other songs, I think it was in San Quentin, we didn't play enough of it, but it kept talking about I'm going to get drunk and fucked up and do what I want, and I'm not afraid to go to jail. And but like,
the titles are hilarious. Steel still rusts, yes. Heaven does heaven know you're missing?
I blanked out in the car around here. I didn't even realize the album was still playing. I'll be honest.
There is a horizon. High time.
Totally checked out on that one.
Those days.
Let's play a little more of the Skinny Little Missy though. So
okay, fast forward to the 1 minute mark, the last minute, and you'll get what I'm saying. On any of these songs.
It ain't cheap, I ain't lying.
Then that's got to be a hooker.
That's why I'm confused. So is he a pimp?
Like, or is this his favorite bitch that he pays for?
What's the song about?
It's Skinny Little Missy.
She'll never grace your bedroom. She's a friend of mine. So it's like, okay, are you big brother trying to protect your sister? But then these lyrics right here, it's like, hold on, are you a pimp? What are you saying? Like, what are we doing, dude? Chad, what are you fucking saying? Like, this all stuck out to me because I was trying to listen to the lyrics. I was like, okay, musically, whatever. Maybe there's something in the lyrics. I'm all, what? What are we doing? Okay, you said go to the last minute on this song?
Yeah, go to the last.
Just for an example?
Yeah, just for example. I'm pretty sure every song has that. I don't know how exactly.
Around 3 minutes or so. Let's just go right here, about 3:10. All right, ready? So we're getting towards the end of it. Perfect. They do have a formula. It went right on the fucking chorus.
Yeah. Right there. And this is your whoop to the end. Every fucking song is this way. Does not matter what fucking album
you found
it
out
is.
Their formula.
Look it does not matter what album it
Look
is.
At, fuck Rick Rubin. Kroger's got it down. Look at Kroger.
Kroger's like, every song is 4 minutes, 4 minutes and 10 seconds at most. We're going to go 3 minutes. Then we're going to hit our bullshit, and then we're going to go home and cash the check. There's Nickelback. Done.
And look, since 1995. And there's nothing wrong with being the hit band. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm laughing so much because this is fucking retarded.
But like, when it's so generic.
It's obvious as fuck.
When it's so generic.
And then this dude's got the balls to sit there and go, it's really hard to write a hit album. No, it ain't. You got it down. 3 minutes, bop, doo, bop, done.
Bro, you said it the best, Ed. Metallica Black Album. Every fucking song was a hit.
Nailed it.
12. And people may say they sold out, but it's still, I got to admit, it's still fucking rock.
They're worth
a billion. And guess what? Not every song sounded exactly the same.
They're worth $1 billion for a reason.
True. And I'm not really a big Metallica fan. I give them props. I have to.
You can't
argue with their success.
And not every song had a 3 minute.
I mean, we could argue they're successful too, but it's.
But not every song had this 3 minute window, bam, done.
No.
They played.
No. They actually do try to explore the genre.
This dude refuses to challenge himself. This band refuses to challenge themselves. None of them want to write a 5 minute song. None of them want to write an epic. None of them want to fucking do anything. If it takes them 3 years to make this, I'm telling you, dude, and they're all 42 minutes.
Oh, you know what's funny is on the last episode we just did.
And these guys talk.
You brought up Corey Taylor when he was talking shit.
Yeah, because he bashed Corey.
Right?
No, he bashed Corey Taylor Stone Sour.
Fair enough.
Because he only remembers one hit.
Oh, fuck that. But what's funny is, okay, they took 3 years to come out with this masterpiece, whatever this is. And then remember when Slipknot was doing Volume 3 and they locked themselves away in that house for
a year,
roughly about a year?
A year, one.
And look how that came out. That was one of their most defining albums because it really like shifted their style into and their creativity. 3 years, Kroger comes up with this mess that we're currently playing.
It took him 3 years.
Nickelback, get rolling. We are giving them so much publicity right now.
But if you look at the plays, it really drops after the fourth song. And then kind of...
Yeah, because they got duped. Like we said, the first song, everyone thought the album was going to be what they said. Oh, more rock. Look, 46 million plays. I mean, that's still 46 million plays. You can't take that away.
No, I'm not...
But it goes less than half from the second, and it keeps halving and halving and halving.
Their longest track is 4 minutes and 27 seconds.
Actually, if you look at the downloads, you could tell they put all their shit songs towards the end.
Yeah. Steel Still Rust.
Okay.
Please play that.
Let me get to that. Because this is where I got confused with this album. First two songs, whether you like it or not, at least the rock.
To a degree.
The rock.
Okay.
It's rock. But those days, I'm listening to this, and I'm like, who's their audience? Because this literally could be a fucking country song.
That's similar to their photo booth.
But this could be a country song. Did you listen to lyrics on this?
No.
I'm going to play it. I'm not going to talk. I want you to listen to lyrics. And I guarantee it sounds like any modern country song.
What I'm
right
saying
now.
Is musically, though, it's similar to their photo booth.
It's a song called Photo Booth?
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
I'm not saying you have to compare. I'm just saying it's similar in tone and pace. Like I said, dude, these guys only, it's really amazing.
But listen to the words. I swear to God, you'll be like, wow, that's a country hit out here today. Like I can imagine like Morgan Wallen or some modern country singer singing these lyrics. That's what I'm trying to get at. Check this out. Those days.
Remember when the street lights came
on
and we had to be home. Same fucking
That's
song.
A fucking country song. No, it's okay. I'm talking lyrically. Listen to lyrics. Remember every prank we made. It's Star 69. That's a country song. Who's their audience?
Women.
99. I think they're just throwing shit at the wall, and whoever catches or whatever sticks, they just say, fuck it, we grab more listeners.
Wait a minute.
See? Yeah. Country song. Yeah. It's a fucking country song. Bro, this could easily be an Eric Church song right now. Eric Church could sing this and make this a fucking massive hit.
All right.
Because lyrically, it works. Lyrically, it's a good story about nostalgia, right? And it's exactly like any good country song. They would have to musically, you know, tweak it. But I was confused. I'm like, okay, rock and then, like, what is this?
Oh, it's called Photograph, not Photo Booth.
And then the High Time song, they talk about how they smoke weed and shit. Dude, you're Canadian.
All right, let me see.
Oh, we have to go over the border. Of course you have to go to the border. It's legal in Canada. They'll fucking lock you up, dude. I'm not even going to bother playing that song. It was just ridiculous. Oh, I'm such a rebel. I smoke weed in America. No shit, asshole. Who doesn't? Everyone who tours here gets the good weed and tours around, and they're blown out of their minds all high as fuck. That's what you do. Such a rebel, this fucking guy.
Where is it? Oh, there it is. Okay.
You got another one?
Well, I'm going to play Photograph.
So that one's similar to this.
In my opinion.
Those days.
In my opinion.
Go for it.
In my opinion. And I'm just talking about in tone and pace. Not really, unless you find it, but let's say. Yes, right. I want to clear that.
Got it?
Give me a second. It's
fuck. Look at this photograph. Oh, this song, man.
Yeah, what is on Joey's head? Anybody know? I swear the acoustics are almost, it's kind of, to me anyway, when I heard those days, I immediately saw this song.
Criminal records says I'm broken twice. I must
too late? Should I go back and try to graduate? Last better now than it was back then.
All right,
he's rubbing his eyes.
I'm good. So the difference still in the lyrics is it's still that nostalgia thing, but the difference is this song you just played, he sounds like a whiny bitch rock star that never made it anywhere.
Well, no. Okay? I'm not going
to
lie.
This one lyrically, to me, is a country hit. I swear to God. Look, if any country stars listening to us right now, take this from Nickelback. Do yourself a favor. The lyrics, I think, work.
Cover this bitch in a country.
You'll do Nickelback a favor for sure, but yes, it's going to work out for you. I think this could be a country hit.
But
I'm trying to give Nickelback a little bit of credit here. So let me play this one again and see how similar that was. So we just heard that. Now listen to this one. Remember when the streetlights came on? All right, fuck, whatever. I guess it's pretty much the same.
This is what I'm saying, though. Like
it was just a little faster.
Yeah, they just cut shit, move it over. It's 3 years. It took him 3 years, and he wrote the same song. Just changed the.
So they're so stuck in them in their little box that it took them 3 years to try to guy. Sounds like the other one. We got to do something different. And I wonder after they listen to this, they go, "Fuck, man,
just
fuck." I did it again.
It's one of those things where it's okay if you're all right, audience. If you're a fan of this band, explain why. I would love to know.
I want to know. I need the explanation.
Because they are stuck in the same formula. Cut songs from earlier albums and put them back.
Listen,
I'm just
as I said before, it's nostalgic stripper music. Okay. When these guys came out, anyone who's still stuck in this band probably heard a song in the bar there that they were at when they were going to college or getting off of work.
Maybe.
They didn't have a choice. It was on, and then you associate it with the good memory you had. And I think that's how this whole thing happened. Okay.
Okay, site.
Right?
It
would be the same as if you and I were at a Denny's 3 a.m. Some song came on and we're having this conversation.
I remember.
And then we remember it, right?
Remember those days? Yeah.
I think that's what happens to this band. Whoever's behind pushing their songs in the catalog to get it on all the jukeboxes or whatever, the background music PlayStations or background music stations. Getting tongue-tied. I think that's the secret to their success.
It might be. Now,
because it just happens. You don't know it.
They came out in 95?
Yeah.
It was 95. Oh, I got it.
I just know it was mid-late 90s, somewhere in there.
Okay, so it was 9. I think it was 95.
Yeah, they're part of that whole class of bands, like Three Doors Down and...
Yeah,
that style. Although Three Doors Down is way better.
95, 96. Okay, so now I'm curious about something. Because there's another group that I brought up in the last episode, if you were interested in getting back into it. They were 97. It was Creed. So it was about the same time. Nickelback, Creed, Three Doors Down was all the same music, same era.
Yeah, but you got to admit, Creed was a...
Tremonti can write.
Yeah, musically was a much more mature band, probably.
Yeah.
Nickelback sounds like whiny high school kid writing what he thinks would be good nostalgic stripper music. I'm never going to stop saying that. It's fucking pole dancing music.
But that's what it is. But obviously you can't take it away. It works. They get paid.
And this is why it's a formula for hits. Marilyn Manson said the same thing about his music. He goes, well, when you listen to music, what's it for? You want to get girls' asses shaking. He goes, and if I'm writing rock music, who are the girls that I'm trying to write music for? And the guy he was talking to, he goes, strippers. He goes, that's why I have the bass lines the way they do. Think about it. Bomp, bomp, bomp. He goes, they want to move, right?
Yeah.
See, but he fucking knew what he was doing.
Heaven and hell is the same way.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah. This is an experiment, this guy.
I think they just accidentally fell into being a nostalgic stripper band, pole dancing band.
Yeah.
And that their music was so heavily pushed out without anyone knowing it, and it just always happened to be in the background at a bar somewhere when you were just having a good time, and now it's like, oh, wait, I heard that song. Dude, they brainwash people. No, they condition people. Behavioral conditioning. They condition people into actually liking this fucking band.
My Nickelback experience was today. I think outside of a radio, like...
Yeah, because you brought it up on the show.
Yeah, because I thought it'd be hilarious. And it might
What's their biggest hit?
I don't know.
What's their biggest hit?
I don't know. I don't fucking...
Let's see if they evolved. Well, their first album was probably their biggest album.
Right? No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't?
It wasn't.
I'm going to go back to the... Do you still want to play that Steel Still Rusts?
Yeah, it's their longest track. I want to hear if it's... Dragged out, I don't know.
4 minutes and 27 seconds.
Signed with Roadrunner in 99. Their breakthrough was How You Remind Me, 2002. Off of their Silver Side Up, 8-time platinum in Canada. A Long Road, 2003, was 5 singles, including Canada's number one, Someday, which was number 7 in the Hot 100s. Their best-selling album to date is 2005's All the Right Reasons. 3 top 10s and 5 top 20s, which is Far Away, Rockstar, and Photograph. The Rockstar song is their biggest success in the United Kingdom. Nickelback released 8 singles from their Dark Horse album, including a United States top 10, Gotta Be Somebody. I guess every album they had a hit or two, I guess, because of the formula.
I think it's intentional.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to specifically write radio songs.
Top 2011 was the Here and Now, which topped the charts in Canada. No Fixed Address topped it. Feed the Machine topped it. Every album had at least one or two hits, except, let's see. Now you're going to make me look at Get Rolling, because now I'm wondering.
Well, just looking at the downloads on Get Rolling, I don't think it was as successful as I thought it would be. But I guess talking shit about metal bands before you do this album doesn't help either. Well, think about it. The metalhead's girlfriend was probably listening to this band, and after this happened, he just said, fuck that bitch, you ain't putting this on in the car ever. It's over.
So they have... Here's the chart list. Here we go. Australia had this album number 3. Austria had number 8. Belgium, 40. Canada, number 4. They're still top 5 in Canada. Dutch, number 92. German was 7. Let's see how the Americans charted this nonsense.
Still top 100, I guess.
Number 3 in the independents, 4 in the alternatives, number 5 in U.S. rock album.
Stripper music, bro. Stripper music, I'm telling you.
Their worst ranking was in Belgium. The Belgians, they're like, fuck this album. The Dutch... Fuck this album. The Italians said nope.
Wait, let me back. How was this number
5, 3, 5,
whatever in America?
In the U.S. Billboard 200.
I never even knew this came out.
In the U.S. Billboard 200, they were ranked 30th. When you look at the...
Get out of your top 50?
When you break it down by genre, they were top 3, 4, 5.
And that's not fair, because why do they push these guys into so many different fucking genres? How many chances are they giving them?
4 in the U.S.
That's some bullshit.
U.K. rock and metal put them at number 1.
What?
U.K. independent put them at number 1. U.K. album OCC put them at number 8. The Swiss said number 1. Spanish, 91. Scottish, 7. Yeah. I mean, outside of the fringe countries, they were top.
I can accept maybe rock, but don't throw the word metal in there.
Number 1 metal. Number 1 U.K. metal.
In UK, the fucking land of Cradle of Filth.
Yes.
These guys ended up edging out in the metal category? Like, well, seriously?
Oh, well, what was released in 2022 for the metals? You know what I'm saying? It's a deep dive we don't need. You asked. There's your answer. Yep, they were up there.
God, dude.
Yes, our last song off this album is going to be Steel Still Rust after we get through this... epiphany of God damn it.
Yeah, but I think 2022 was a decline of intelligence. It had to have been. Okay, 22, we had, I mean, shit, when we talk about actual real metal, we had Patient number 9, Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
We have...
Machine Head was 22.
We have Immutable, Meshuggah, 2022.
Yeah.
Ghost actually released an album, Impera.
Yeah.
We had Slipknot, The End So Far, 2022.
Yes.
Probably not their best effort, but still, metal. Let me see what else I can find on here. We had Omens from Lamb of God in 22.
Okay. Now,
how are these guys getting classified as fucking number one in metal in the UK? I Arch Enemy 2022, Deceivers.
Uh-huh.
Korn, Requiem. That wasn't so good for them. let's just call that one what it was. we'll let that one be there. But, okay, Disturbed, Divisive. That album actually didn't do too bad for them. And this is just some of the stuff that popped up. I didn't go right into like the really, you know, extreme hard, you know, black okay. metal stuff.
Now, the Slipknot album was number 2 in the Billboard 200 for the U.S. Number 1 in all categories in the U.S. And Nickelbacky was 3, 4, 5 and all.
How the fuck they get edged out in the U.K.?
In the U.K., Slipknot... was number 1 in metal only, but rock and metal went to
that makes no sense. You can't have rock and metal. It's rock or metal.
They were number 1 in the Swedish hard rock.
They're distinctly different.
Number 1 in the Swiss, the Swedish were number 1. Spain, number 15. They were number 1 in Germany, Greek, Hungary, Croatia.
Okay, listen.
Number 1 in Australia.
I guess mission accomplished. We've already done almost an hour of actually talking about fucking Nickelback. This is the most I've ever had to talk about this band ever.
And you asked about ever. Charts, and I gave you charts.
Ever.
I don't know what to do with that, but yes.
Motherfuck. These sneaky bastards.
Okay. I would ask you to grade this album and this band.
Do I have to?
Yes, because that's how you close a review.
Well, no. Let's go to your favorite song ever.
The longest track on the album.
The one that you endorse.
I don't endorse. I said I want to hear the longest track on the album.
You want to hear the whole track?
No, I want to hear what it's like. I want to know how it's 4 minutes and 27 seconds.
I thought you heard it.
I did. But our audience may not.
I tapped out. I'll play it then.
This is their fucking ballad, I think.
Oh.
Although they're all...
From 7 down to 11, it's all the same song.
Yes, it's a blur. Yesterday, he lived a simple life. I think he's talking about the military and that. I'm not sure. Sign up, ship out. Of course, he is Canadian, so we all know why they talk that way. Because they don't fight a war at all.
Here's the thing with these guys. They're trying to play on that late 80s, early 90s hard rock era. Yes. Like, okay, George Lynch, Dawkins.
And they're going to beat it to death.
Okay. But they're not. They're missing the mark, though.
Yeah.
But for as cheesy as you can say maybe 80s hard rock was, if you listen back to it, it was actually some good songs. And I think that's what they're trying to do with these kind of ballady rock songs. They're trying to reach that audience, but they don't quite hit it. Like, I think this is a disservice to bands that do this kind of well, like Mr. Big.
Yeah.
They're not even close, right? And even if we talk about Dawkins, like, I actually saw George Lynch live. And, you know, they have some songs that are kind of like this, but it has more... I can't explain it. It's just a different level.
Okay, forget that for a second. I want to read some of these lyrics. And I believe... The way it sounds to me, it's a war. It's like an anti-ish war song. So he says the opening is best of days living a simple life. There's nowhere to go when there's only one stoplight. His grandmother told him, don't you dare sign up. They'll ship you away to places we ain't heard of. Get a degree, maybe be a doctor. Just ask your daddy. It won't matter once they got you. Lifetimes you could spend to find out what she meant. Her final dying breath, this is what she said. Long gone is the praise for those who fought for us. Ashes to ashes, turns out steel still rusts, stone carved in your name.
All right, so he's saying it's all for nothing.
Yes. No one can really thrust, no one can really trust, shoulder another soldier they stole from us. Don't ever bend, don't ever...
No, I get it, I get it. Okay. So.
The problem I have when Canadians write about war, Canada and all that, about America and all that, these fuckers never get involved in anything. They never fight anything. They never stand for anything. They give you a couple of planes in World War II. They don't do anything. It's very dismissive and insulting if you're...
Just on that alone, for me anyway. And maybe this is what... I don't know if all Canadians think this way, but... It's like, don't fight. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, why risk it? Why risk your life for what? Like, people already fought for us, and look what happened. No one cares anymore. All right, asshole. This is why Trudeau has control of your fucking country right now.
We're going to
attack
Canada.
This is why you no longer have guns. This is why they were trying to lock up truckers for just having a difference of opinion. They shut down your bank accounts. You can't. You're almost like the UK. You can't say anything that has an opposing opinion, or now that they're going to fucking throw you in jail. So, okay, stay complacent. Stay complacent. Be the Canadian Dan. Continue to walk down that road,
and then come to America, collect all that money.
And we'll be here when you start yelling and raise your hand for help.
That's what happens. And I only brought that song up because it just really bothered me for these guys to write an anti-war song pointed our way, as I understood it anyway, and it's kind of like, the fuck? I don't know. That's just how I took it. Those out there, you may have took it differently. Please let us know.
I don't know if it was anti-war or more like...
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, yeah. Like, don't bother. No one's going to care. No one's going to remember you. No one's going to care about what you do. Who cares? Everything's going to be the same.
Well, I guess on that logic... Eventually, no one will care about this.
I didn't care. I never cared until you said in the last episode that we're fucking reviewing this.
We're going to go down Nickelback Alley, yes.
I never cared before.
They should even call it
Nickel. Actually, I still don't. But
but you're here. How long have we been suffering?
We're over an hour, a little bit over an hour.
Okay.
A bit over an hour. You got any more
Nickelback
great representations of this amazing product of
they
Canada?
They did do a Queen cover song.
Okay, go. At this point, why stop, right? Let me hear how this guy tries to compare to Freddie Mercury.
Please,
let's do this.
We will fucking do this.
And kick the guitar around like the great Brian May. I want to hear this disaster. God, what song do they do?
We Will Rock You, Man.
Oh, one of the easier Queen songs?
Yeah, the drummer.
Pussies.
The drummer can't fuck this up.
They should have fucking tackled something a lot more, you know,
musical. Oh, I got it. First, let's do this one.
Same old bass thing.
His brother could only play one way, I'm sure.
Always the same.
They are the epitome of a broken record.
Good bass tone though. No is a dirty word, never gonna say it first. No is just the thought that never crosses my mind. No is a dirty word. Alright. Maybe in the parking lot,
better bring your friend along. Alright, well, while you're
bring your friend. What is this guy talking about?
Yes, the answer is yes. Only
What's he talking about?
It's a song about sex.
Is that what he's trying to say?
Yeah. But he made it an anagram for the chorus, and it just sounds weird.
I guess I couldn't make it out because the music was over the top of what he was trying to say. Maybe that was intentional.
It might be. Oh, did I just...
Is this a rape song? Like, shit, like... Because earlier you said, bring your friend.
Yeah.
It's never a question. It's always yes. Is he writing a rape song? It's not a suggestion.
He is for ecstasy.
This is happening. This is what he's saying.
Oh, there it is. I found it. Okay.
Now shut the shit off. It'd be kind of hard to fuck this up. I mean, it's a pretty simple song.
Not over. It's not over.
You telling me winter's coming?
Remember the guitar.
That's true.
Not over.
I should have grabbed a beer. I should have grabbed it.
I'm going with nothing, so I don't hear it.
You brought this on yourself, so you need to suffer.
I am.
This was your decision.
Yes. You're lucky we didn't do live tracks.
Oh, God.
Here we go. Here we go.
I feel it coming. It's building up. Didn't happen. How do you mess that up, dude? It's a simple guitar swell, and it needs to be this big, massive sounding note, and it's kind of like a...
He's doing his best, sir.
Heavily compressed, muffled. It's like... you know?
Chad does what he can. That's it, kids.
All right, stop that. So for comparison... look, we already know we're going to kicked off YouTube anyway. I don't really care.
Yeah.
But for comparison's sake.
Told you winter was coming.
Oh, it definitely came.
Hey, they did ZZ Top too. We're going to knock that out real quick.
When is the fucking... when do the beatings stop? That's what I'm asking.
All right, before
okay, so let's...
Okay, yeah, let's do that, and then we're going to hit Legs by ZZ Top, covered by Nickelbacker. This
is okay, so...
We will rock you.
This is. I'm just making. No, it's a Stone Cold Classic.
1.3 billion plays.
Billion Nickelback.
Yes.
Billion. Let me find the actual Queen track and not some ripped off substandard sounding version. that was like on some special greatest hits type. No, well, Queens of Stone Age. Well, that's a great band, but we're not going to go in there.
Somebody. Yeah.
Not Queens of the Stone Age. Here we go. Queen.
All right.
Here we go. And. I'm surprised it's not up here.
It's up there. See more.
Interesting. Ah, there it okay, is. So let's play it.
1.3 billion.
Billion.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
2.5 billion.
Don't stop
two
me now.
Billion. These guys haven't been around. Well, they're kind of around now, but you know what I'm saying? It's like...
This version of the band has been gone for a while.
Nickelback, just hang it up, man. All right, so let's play the actual Queen version. You'll see what I'm talking about with the guitar swell, and it's like... That impact that Nickelback was missing. Because they were really missing it. Okay.
This part's easy, though.
Right. Let's see how the drums even sound a little bigger, even though it's an older recording.
It's an older set, too. Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise. This part is, you can't compare.
No, it just has a bigger...
Freddie is obviously better.
Without trying to be, it just has a more massive kind of airy sound to it. Look at that.
Freddie is
obviously. They have the vocals over the top on the choir. I mean, chorus. Yeah. Yeah, Kroger is not Mercury.
No, not it at all.
Yeah. We will. I can't say. I ain't gonna fucking cry.
No.
But we will rock you.
We're here to compare the guitar.
But this actually makes you want to sing it, though. The other one was like.
It was like a dead
okay,
fucking.
What am I hearing?
It's like a dead animal. They shot twice.
Animal they shot. Better put your bag into your place. Just much more massive sound.
Yeah.
This is old recording with old technology. Here we go. See? You feel that?
I do.
Different.
I do.
They don't fuck around. Until it swells up in the volume. I'll hear this note.
Yeah.
Does that not set?
Yes.
We've arrived. Does that not sound
yes.
like? Here
and
we
now,
go, fuckers.
But the rest of it is like Chad just, it's like his wheel.
They missed the mark on that one, man. They stifled it. Like, no, that's the part of the song where you're supposed to be like,
you're supposed to hit.
Here we go, motherfucker.
Yes.
Let's go.
And Chad's tire fell off the bike.
Not like, okay, guys, we open the door. Everyone single file. No, it's like a supposed to be a mad rush. It's like, fuck yeah, let's do this.
No, like I said, the tire fell off the bike and he couldn't put it back on.
It definitely fell off the bike.
Just went. Boop.
It fell off his tricycle.
The front tire, too, so he fell forward and
over
the top.
Oh, shit.
No, I mean, you can even play to finish it out. I mean, the way he hits the rest of it is like...
Okay, I'll play a little bit of it. Listen to that.
Older sound, too. Well, even when he does this live, it's the same shit.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very close to
studio. I don't even know what the fuck Chad did.
It's...
All right, the finale.
There are those we consider the greats.
Yes, and then there's
and
Chad.
Then there's Pumpernickel. I mean Nickelback. Sorry.
So, I know I've put together quite the episode, but
I wonder if we're going to get a letter from Nickelback.
Take this down, cease and desist.
How dare you promote our songs? How dare you actually play it to somebody? What are you doing?
How dare you tackle it and break it in half?
In all fairness, Mr. Kroger, I'm a musician. I played many forms of music, and I'm going to tell you fucking suck, all right?
And then he'll just point to his fucking house.
Fair enough.
Because that's what he does.
You dupe the population. I'm sorry. I have more integrity than that. So.
Honestly, Nickelbacker, this is not your typical journalistic review of your albums where they pat you on the back and they fucking...
I'm not apologizing for shit. I'm a musician.
I'm just saying. That's not what this is.
Dude, really a journalist?
A musical journalist? Yeah, whatever.
It took me on quite a journey down the road of this amazing piece of work in which they really unfolded and bloomed. Like, get the fuck out of here with that shit.
Not only did you take 3 years to make...
You said it rocked. Did it rock? No. Okay. Was your album confusing? I couldn't figure out what style you were.
Yes,
it was.
Yes.
Done. What more do you need?
Did some of your songs sound like past albums? Yes.
Of course. Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Do you have a runtime down to a science?
Yes.
Do you have that 1 minute closeout every fucking song?
Yes. Absolutely, yes.
When you talk about, when your brother, bass playing brother, talks about covering Slayer as a possibility, I have to go through your covers. I have to. And we are. And no,
you're not there. And and I got one more question, and I want a straight answer from Chad Kroger. Were you really at a strip club when you decided to form a band? I gotta know.
I swear, if this episode takes off.
This is the first episode we've done where we kind of stayed on one topic, but it's kind of hard not to keep going on this. I mean,
you can't look away. It's like a,
it's like one of those cheesy B movies where like I can't watch this, but like you keep looking. Like, well, now I got to see how this ends. I got to see.
You
where
know
it
the
goes.
Crazier part of it?
We're
though?
Just too invested at this point. We got to keep going.
I went through an 8-hour shift of this. The craziest part is not only did it take 3 years to make this fucking atrocity.
Yeah, that's what's baffling to me.
But he also included an acoustic deluxe.
I wasn't going to bring that up. I really wasn't. I really don't want to go there. But the question being is, what made them think they needed a deluxe version?
I get it. Everybody's trying to deluxe shit and get more for your buck, but...
But what's so fucking deluxe about it?
If you look at the album cover, it's just blue instead of yellow, but I...
Did they really think they were doing the fucking Guns N' Roses Civil War album?
Use your illusion, uno yeah. and dos? No. No, this is not that. I don't know what this is. Because their acoustic shit is even worse than their rocky attempts.
All right, Pumpernickel. Let me see if we can get back to Pumpernickel.
There he's right there.
This is Nickelback.
Yeah,
there's Nickelback. First, God, they even put Spotify are not doing these guys any justice. Don't put that cover up there.
Where's that deluxe sound? I just want to look.
I'm going to it right now. There's okay, so deluxe. So we heard San Quentin. What's the deluxe version of San Quentin?
It's at the bottom.
It's like an added track at the end?
Yeah, no, it's the whole album in acoustic. That's what makes it deluxe.
Ooh, they got live. San Quentin right. Live.
Well, fuck it. Might
Let's
as well.
Go.
Live.
Let's go.
From the Starland.
The hardest, rockiest metal song ever.
From the Starland Ballroom. Hold on. Pause real quick. I want to make a note of the timestamp. It is still the same 4 minutes and 12 seconds.
And it's a live song.
And it's live. These fuckers don't even embellish on stage.
That is very interesting. All right, let's go.
This is a script all the way down to the end.
Let's get the circus on down the road. Stripping music, bro. Okay. It sounds good. They can play.
Okay.
Definitely not Motley Crue Live with Vince Neil blubbering. I'll tell you that much.
All right. Small correction. It's actually 30 seconds longer. That's
because they had the crowd cheering.
Yeah. But it's really the same 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
Okay. And then where's the other? They actually didn't because there was Steel Still Rust was a hit or something?
No, the whole album is acoustic. That's the deluxe is a 2-disc set. You get rock and then acoustic.
They got Those Days Live. Let's hear their country song. That's already kind of acoustic, and then they do an exclusive acoustic track.
Uh huh.
This, fucking sheep.
This part right here is the only reason why it's longer than the actual track. If you do the math, it's still 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
I'm going to fast forward it. Remember every prank call we made? See? What happened to the sound?
No, but you see how the minute is gone? It's still 3 minutes and 30 seconds. These guys do not attempt or any kind of off script when they're on stage.
Hold on, is that fucking, is that a cover? Is that no, that was Dancing in the Dark, not Standing.
No.
Well, let me play this.
The acoustic version, yes. And I'm feeling kind of beaten like the rusted out hinges on the backyard gate. Well, everybody lies too much. Open, they can find true love. I
get it.
You thought.
They did not need a deluxe version of this.
No, they didn't. But they do have one.
So.
All right.
I think we need a palate cleanser.
But before we do.
We need a palate cleanser.
But before we do. The final song off Nickelback is the cover of ZZ Top's Legs because I want to play it.
I really wonder what people are going to think of this band after this episode.
they'll just call us names, and we're wrong. And we and
all the Canadians are going to hate us.
Probably all 22 million Spotify
Fuck
guys.
Fuck you, man. It's a national treasure. They saved Canada.
Sure. Like, yeah, okay.
You just don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't. I absolutely, you are right. I absolutely do not get it.
Okay. We should probably, you still have X, right? You still do that X
concert? Yeah, yeah.
We should probably do a poll if this takes off and try to figure out how many people actually hate Nickelback.
Like I don't know my account will attract that type of response. I'll be honest with you. But we can definitely put a poll on the show notes of or on
of here anyway. Yeah.
I think we could do it. We could do a poll on Spotify, for example. So if anyone listens to us off Spotify, I'll figure it out. We'll definitely put something out there.
Assuming this episode survives when it's launched.
No, it'll survive. It'll fly right under the fucking radar, dude. Kroger's gonna know.
Oh, he'll know
that bad press is still press.
True,
and they've been irrelevant for a long time. And I don't care what the charts say because the UK were a bunch of sympathetic pussies and ranked them number one. I'm sorry, dude. That's not me. And the fact that they got any rankings in America, every background music thing in a bar. Okay, that's how they got all the plays. I get it. Okay, I get it.
True.
I understand
probably
that.
True.
One.
Can't,
yeah.
Can't, yeah,
I know it's true. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
This album came out in 2022. They came out in 95.
Yes, they have not changed.
And their biggest hit album was 2005? Somewhere around there?
The one with the most hits was 2005. Breakout was 2002 with that You Remind Me shit.
Okay. Between 2005 and 2024, have you heard anybody rolling hard down the street with their windows down, pumping Nickelback?
No, just like, no.
Rest my case. It's in every fucking background music station in every fucking bar. That's how they get the downloads. That's how they get the plays.
They did write a few songs for movies. Like
it's stripper music. And I can see people, you know, when this comes on, when you're taking a few shots of whatever your favorite alcohol is, creates memories, you get nostalgic. That is the formula. That is the brilliant mind of Chad Kroeger. He knows his place. I'm gonna give it to him.
Double pats.
He knows what he's doing.
Double pats for Chad, yes. Let's do this.
So that's a disservice to Billy Gibbons.
Wow. Period. They do this shit here too. Like I've been fascinated with the timestamps of this band because they don't go over the number.
Well, the original song is 4 minutes and 33 seconds.
3 minutes and 14 seconds.
They
here.
Cut it even more?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Just like Devil Went Down to Georgia, there was 2 minutes and 48 seconds.
Maybe they just gas out.
I don't understand. Like every
all right, here we go.
I have heard so much.
So the original, the guitar tone, and of course this was recorded earlier. Don't look at that date. That's the remaster date. But
no, yeah. I got you.
Now let's listen to the guitar tone on this. Billy Gibbons, who pretty much pioneered this raunchy, southerny type of, you know.
Yeah. I didn't even hear that in the beginning.
Yeah. You didn't hear that.
No, they totally sliced
it.
They sliced it, yeah.
Yeah. Hear that raunchiness?
Yeah.
That's what makes that.
Fucking yeah. Chad burned it.
I mean, I'll expect him to have Gibbons tone, but still.
At least attempt to fucking
get close. Yeah, it doesn't sound as. Yeah.
What's even weirder is.
There's so much more going on here in the guitar.
What's even weirder is in these songs, these covers, they chop lyrics as well. Like, I don't understand why you would do that.
All right, we'll probably really get in trouble for that one. I don't think Billy Gibbons fucks around.
Nah, he'll wake up and go, what? What? Huh?
Man.
Well, why do they chop lyrics, though, on covers? Why do they cut it so much?
I don't know. Yeah, why do they do that?
I mean, I get do your own version, but why do you cut the
song?
So
hearing these two covers, he really... Play it again real quick. Just a little bit. Just play it a little bit. Because he really, really fucking just phoned it in. I mean, it didn't even come close to the guitar work. I don't think.
I don't know what that is.
Kind of, but not really.
Yeah, but why is he trying to make it heavier than it should be?
Okay.
It's not heavy either. It's a really light deal.
I guess. I mean, it's kind of close, but it just didn't have that that bite, that articulation. It's not just the tone; it's just the way it's being played.
Where's the?
It's almost like Nickelback just phoned it in.
I'm gonna shit. You know? I'm gonna shits and giggles this.
Like, even though, I like the song. Let me just phone this one.
Even though this is a cover, I wonder if the 1 minute mark holds true on covers as well.
It might.
Let's see. Here we go. It does.
Fucking formula, man.
Wow. This is the last minute of the song. Even though we know the song's longer.
A little bit, yeah. At least by another minute. All right.
That's fucking crazy.
I think we played enough fucking music for this
episode. Yeah. For yourself anyway.
I'm going to have to cleanse my ears on the drive home. I swear. I don't know. Wow.
All right.
You know, if you're going to play a cover, though, I mean, you got to be badass at it. You got to do your fucking version.
I think even if you're going to edit it, at least the main two or three parts need to be there. And they don't do that. They just chop one of them off, and then they shrink some of them. And it's like,
I'm just going to throw this out as an example of how a cover should be done by a band who makes it their own. I'm going to look this up. So let me go to YouTube. Hey, the same platform we're going to get kicked off of. Okay.
Well,
so
let me go
to YouTube.
I
mean. Why does that always
acknowledge
come up?
That Islam?
Why is that? I'm just gonna cut that out. I'll just leave it in. Fuck it. But every time I open on this computer, that always comes up. I have cleared my cache. I've done everything, and it always gets stuck on that for some reason.
I have no idea.
I don't know. Anyway, but let me play this for you, okay? Because I thought I've always loved this cover, and this is a band that made it their own for sure. So let me play this. Are you familiar with Fire and Rain by James Taylor?
Oh, the song, yeah.
By James Taylor?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You want to play a little bit of the James Taylor real quick?
Oh, I thought you had. I thought you had.
I could pull it up here.
Yeah, you can if you want.
And I played this for Christine the other day, and she wouldn't. I don't know why she didn't like it. You know, Christine, we got to have a talk about your musical taste as well.
What now?
Nah, she's actually Christine's really good, and she actually likes some really good music. She does, but she likes the original more. I get it. The James Taylor version is actually, you know, it's pretty cool.
All right.
So here we go. Chad Kroeger, if you're listening, this contrast of how to do a cover correctly, make it your own. Morning,
they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning, and I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end.
I'm gonna let it go a little more because there's a part in the song.
I've seen lonely times where it
transitions, and then you'll hear the contrast from this other cover, how they do it right here.
Also. But I always thought that I'd see you again.
Okay, there build up, and then it goes in to the actual
down upon me,
steady
Jesus.
Part of the song, right?
You gotta help me drums make a stand.
So this is how you do a cover, Kroger, and make it your own.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to. Well, I see fire and I see rain.
And then here's that transition, how they come into it. The vocal riff. So, example of a band with good musicians who actually make it their own. That's what I'm trying to say. If you're going to go a direction, you got to go all the way with it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you can.
I mean, these guys aren't James Taylor, but James Taylor is not Jakey Lee on guitar either.
No.
And he's not Ian Gillan or Ray Gillan on vocals either.
Yeah.
He's not.
Absolutely.
But James Taylor's version is James Taylor, and you always are going to like it. But this is an example of, I'm going to do a cover. We're a good band, but we're going to do a cover. Nickelback is like, they're phoning it in. It's like, what are you doing?
I wonder how much money they get. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just wondering.
I don't know. And by the way, anybody who just heard that, try to find that. It's hard, but that's Badlands.
Badlands is a motherfucker to get.
It's hard to get their stuff, yeah.
I don't know.
On Spotify, you can find two albums, but you can't find this Voodoo Highway album for some reason. I have to always try to go to YouTube to find it.
You can't find their the last one either.
Yeah, no, it's on YouTube.
The blue one?
I mean, not YouTube, on Spotify.
Is it really?
Yeah. That's the one place I was able to find it, believe it or not. But I encourage everyone to go hear Badlands if you like that style of rock from that era.
Bruce Springsteen.
So check it out. See, right here.
That's it.
It's called Dusk. Yeah, it came out 2013. Oh, that's before Ray Gillan died. He died of cancer, so that's why the band actually disbanded. But
no, yeah, I know that. It's just
And for those who don't know, Jakey Lee is a badass virtuoso. Was the guitar player for Ozzy Osbourne. Did the Bark at the Moon album, Ultimate Sin album. So yeah, these are legit guys. Definitely some legit guys.
Well, there you go.
All right, but anyway, I just did that so that everybody understands. If you're gonna do a cover, make it your own. And I could do the Marilyn Manson version of what he did.
We're not going
to. No, I'm not going to. But if I did, that would be another great example of making it your own.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get at. Pumpernickel falls short. They fall short.
What is. Hold on. We're going to close with this. Because I need to figure out. Go ahead and keep.
I'm good. I really don't got much else. I mean, if we're going to wrap this up.
No, we are wrapping it up.
I'm waiting to see what you have up your sleeve here.
Oh, we are going to wrap this up. But I want to know what the current, like currency-wise.
What the conversion from Canadian to American dollars?
No.
U.S. dollars?
No. Because they call their shit different things.
They have more than one currency? No, they don't.
This is going to be interesting. This is the stuff you heavily edit because this just came to me.
What are you trying to do? I got a converter here.
I'm not converting. I'm the actual names of their money.
The name of the Canadian currency?
Yeah.
I
kept calling it a loonie in the earlier points of this episode.
I'll find it right now. It's Canadian dollar.
Canadian.
It's a Canadian dollar.
It's just Canadian dollar?
Yeah.
Why do I keep referring to it as a loonie?
I don't know why that's in your head.
Hold on. We are going to find out.
How is that spelled?
Well, it's very colorful. I know that much. It's Yeah, it is the nickname for a buck. It's called a loony. I was right.
Loony or loomy?
L-O-O-N-I-E.
Loony. Oh, really? I don't know that. See, we're learning something today outside of bashing fucking Pumpernickel.
Okay, so
really, loony? It's called that's another slang for a dollar?
Loony is...
It's also a town in Union Council in
okay.
Kulachi Tehsil Dera Ismail Khan District of Khyber.
Yeah, you're going deeper than...
You know what? Apologies, but I did my best on that.
Okay, so I just didn't want to be wrong, but yes, it is the slang term for the Canadian dollar. It's called a loony. So there we go.
Interesting.
And they discontinued the 1 cent, and the 50 cent is still being minted. Anyway, that was it. I just wanted to make sure I was right on that. All right, CEO, rant us home.
I don't really have any rant.
Not really. I mean, close it out is all I'm saying.
After all that, I just need to like. I need a fucking beer, man.
You need to take a shower. I'm gonna be honest. Take a fucking shower. All right, fine. Episode 19 is in the books. If you are a fan of Nickelback, please tell us why. If you hate Nickelback, please tell us why. We're just curious how many of you are actually out there. And if you agree or disagree with what it is that we did for the hour plus of Nickelback bashing. And that's it, kids. I'm still Manuel. He's still George.
And as my brother said, you will need a shower as well after listening to all of the shit rain down upon your head and into your fucking ears of Nickelback songs.
Yes. Have a good one. We'll see you next week.